Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been coached quietly but often boldly to not admit our weaknesses and vulnerabilities. Consider the business world. Leaders are told to absolutely not talk about their past mistakes and failures. For by doing so, they would perhaps ruin their credibility and ability to influence others. Take, for example, relationships. When a couple is dating in the very earliest times of their relationship, there's that awkward moment when one person doesn't really want to talk about a past weakness or a vulnerability that they have. By the way, this is why I didn't tell my wife that I was a bad dancer in the very beginning. Even seasoned relationships, it can be a bit unnerving for a couple to share a vulnerability that they are experiencing. Let's add on sports figures, politicians, and music performers. They have been coached to absolutely not share their kryptonite, for by doing so, they might ruin their fan base or potentially lose votes in the next election cycle. How many times have you heard this said? I'm not here to talk about my past. I only want to talk about what's going on now or the future. We do it too, you and I. We stay away from sharing our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses. We'd rather blame someone else for what happened in the past or spin the truth so we really don't look that bad or really switch the topic. Boy, the weather sure is nice today outside. Jesus shows us a new way today to live. Today is Palm Sunday. What a special day in the church here for us. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover festival. But you see, that particular year, there was more excitement than previous years for a very specific reason. You see, just a few days before the Passover, Jesus had performed perhaps his most amazing miracle, the raising of his friend Lazarus, in a small town called Bethany, just a little smaller than the town of Philomath, maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people, just a short distance away from Jerusalem. But you see, it was the type of town where people got together and they shared rumors, and they shared the happenings of what was going on down on the other end of town. Well, the raising of Lazarus, no doubt, had caused conversation to go all the way from Bethany to the big city of Jerusalem, just a few miles down the road. And so when Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem, a crowd comes out to greet him and to see this person who actually raised Lazarus from the dead. And as they do, they come bringing palm branches, which is grand in and of itself. That was one of the national symbols of peace and prestige during Jesus' day. But even more than that, the crowd cries out these words, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." High praise, dating all the way back to the prophets, 800 or 900 years before Jesus. How disappointing. How shocking. How maybe even discouraging to see this Jesus riding into town on a donkey. Come on. Pontius Pilate, at least when he came in, had 200 people in front of him with spears and armor, and he came in on a chariot. This Jesus looks like someone that could easily get picked off, as he ultimately would be just a few days later on Good Friday. Let's pause for a moment. Have you ever considered how vulnerable Jesus appears to be? It's kind of an odd thought. We don't think about it as Christians. We think of him as powerful and mighty and these sorts of things. But have you really considered the moments where Jesus actually relies on other people or perhaps admits limitations, it's actually there. Now, Jesus didn't sin, but Jesus does show vulnerabilities. Think of some of these examples. For example, John chapter 4, Jesus meets the scandalous woman at the well. He's not really supposed to be there, but that scandalous woman, he asks her for a cup of water. Then consider out on the boat with his disciples. Jesus falls asleep and he trusts the navigational skills of his disciples to lead the way. And then there's that moment, yes, with Lazarus in John chapter 11 where Jesus outright weeps, showing vulnerability. Or how about this little detail? Luke chapter 8 reveals that Jesus' ministry was financed by a few women just to get by day to day. The Gospels do not show a Jesus with all sorts of power and might, not all the time. This is a picture of Jesus where he's vulnerable to people. And then after Palm Sunday, we see his ultimate vulnerability as he goes to the cross, and in front of everyone, he is spat upon and jeered. And then later, he showed his vulnerability for everyone as he died on the cross for everyone to see. Jesus shows his vulnerability, his weakness. What a strange way to lead people. But you know what? It made a difference. Because a few years later, the Apostle Paul, when he would write, he kept coming back to this theme over and over again. And he compelled those, he wrote to those who were listening to him to not go the way of the world, but to consider Jesus' example, to take on his mindset. In Philippians chapter 2, he does this with these powerful words that were made, perhaps even sung in the congregation at Philippi. It says this, Philippians chapter 2, though he came in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, humbling himself, obedient all the way to death, even death on a cross. This kind of leadership is not seen today. Humble leadership. Vulnerable. But this is what Jesus shows us. And there's good news. You know, to put it in a modern way or a modern story that I recently heard 4 or 5 years ago, perhaps you can relate to this story. Down in the Rio Grande Valley on the border of Mexico and Texas, there are rich orchards with great vegetation, great production of harvest every single year. And across that border, migrants come from Mexico legally with green cards to come up and pick that produce. But some of them go all the way up to states like Michigan and Minnesota, to those colder climates. But many of those migrants actually settle there in the Rio Grande Valley and work the season. They barely get by. They live day to day. Well, in that Rio Grande Valley, there is an owner there. His name is Hans Schneider. And he owns a great orchard, and he has, for many years, looked forward to the time in which the migrants would come because he would take care of them. And Hans also looked forward to his son who would come and work during his college years and earn some extra money. And Hans also looked forward to the time when his son would take over the orchard and Hans could kind of retire and hang out and just really enjoy the time that his son took over all the work and action that happened on the orchard. That was the plan. But one spring, something shocking happened. Hans' son came to him and said that he didn't want to spend his first and second years on the top. He wanted to live with the migrant workers. He went on to say, I want to know what they taste and what they feel. I want to know their lifestyle. I want to be able to speak their language and know who they are. And that was shocking to the father because he believed in hard work, but he didn't want his son to live a life like the migrant workers. You see, in some ways, that act of vulnerability does remind us of what Jesus has done for us. He has come, not in his power and strength, but he's come riding on a donkey with his vulnerabilities and weaknesses, and he relates with us completely. And that's the good news. You know, Paul, at another point, actually would go on to say that that this kind of attitude would be important for Christians to have. Not just to look at Jesus, but to take on the attitude of being vulnerable and even admitting weakness. He says it again in another section of the scriptures when he writes to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And then Paul gives his testimony. He says, "Then I will therefore brag all the more in my weaknesses. I will share my insults and hardships and weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong," Paul says. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, in today's world that we live in, the emblems of businesses are often portray power and might. Nike, for example, has the swoosh. Just wearing that shirt makes you feel like you're going to win the game and you feel powerful. Or when you look at the emblem of McDonald's and see the arches, you see the influence that that company has over so many in the world. Our emblem, Christianity's emblem, is a cross that shows perhaps weakness and shame. Even one of our famous hymns, "The Old Rugged Cross," says it really well, the emblem of suffering and shame. But my friends, that emblem that shows weakness is our greatest strength, because our power is found in Jesus. His weakness opens up the ability for us to be strong and to have all things in life, including eternal life. Friends, this week in the Red Letter Challenge, a challenge was put forward to practice going. And one of the specific challenges was this: to write down a testimony and then to even videotape that testimony and share it with somebody else. Now, I don't know how you did with that, but I have to share with you that when I read that, I was a little apprehensive. My testimony is not that powerful, and somebody else has a better testimony than what I have. If you thought that, that's okay, but isn't that the point? Our testimony should speak to our weaknesses and how Christ fills in and gives us his strength. I was reminded of that just a couple months ago when I was asked to go to a group called Celebrate Recovery in Philomath. They asked me to share a message with the group that was there. It was probably 25, 30 people. Not a large crowd. And once the time of worship and message was done, we then split up the men and women to talk about our weaknesses. Now, it was kind of awkward because the men were sent into the nursery of that church. 10 big men packed into that nursery, shoulder to shoulder, that tight space. But my friends, then it got even more awkward. We then shared our weaknesses and what we were struggling with that week. We went around one by one, 9 of them, and then it came to me. I was the last one. And the person that was leading that discussion turned to me before I said anything and said this: "He's the pastor. He shared the message today, so he's not going to share anything. Maybe he was thinking I didn't have any weaknesses. I don't know." But after he said that, I paused for a moment and I thought, no, I'm going to share my weakness, what I'm struggling with today. And I did. No advice was given. No judgment from those other 9 people. We then shared a Bible passage, and then we simply prayed. And I have to tell you, in that moment, I felt strength. And I felt that Jesus was there. My friends, take on Paul's words. When we are weak, then we are strong, because of what Jesus has done for us. That's the difference that it makes to have a leader that is humble. He gives us his power. Now, as we close out, there's just a question for you to consider. We do want to have a testimony. It's important to share. But to help you do that, I just want you to think about that question, this question. How is God giving you strength for a current weakness that is going on in your life? If you can unpack that question, you have a powerful testimony. Amen.